In an era of great uncertainty, as the present moment seems to be, what is the best system for making change? People may treasure their freedom, but that doesn't mean they value a democratic government with noisy legislatures and squabbling lawmakers. Such governments can be manipulated into outrageous votes, like the Brexit episode in the UK that millions say they now regret, or the macho I'll-do-it-my-way Filipino president Rodrigo Duterte. To Larry Diamond, a professor at Stanford University, democracy's messiness may be a liability in a time when large groups of people want stability and some government they can count on being the same tomorrow as it was today. In such an environment, are the Dutertes and Donald Trumps and Vladimir Putins favored? Diamond has found that 27 countries experienced a breakdown in democracy between 2000 and 2015, while authoritarian governments have become increasingly emboldened and locked down.
We've been in a global recession of freedom and democracy in the world. For a number of years, going back 10 years, it's been a relatively mild one. But in the last 2 to 3 years, with the setbacks to democracy in crucial countries, Thailand, Turkey, now you see this thug and autocrat has been elected in the Philippines. It's been gathering steam, and Russia, China, Iran, they're all trying to take advantage of this to promote authoritarian values. On the other hand, the majority of states in the world today are still democracies. There's no broad demand for authoritarian reversal in Latin America, even in post-communist European states. Most of them remain quite clearly democratic. And I spent a lot of time, John, looking at public opinion data from all over the world. And in large parts of the world, most strikingly Africa, which has the lowest average income of any region of the world, there's still broad demand for freedom and democracy. It's just not what their leaders are supplying.
Is it the case that in the 21st century, the decline of democracy's appeal, as you write about it, coincides with a decline also in the robustness and relevance of national nation states, that nation states have a limited ability to control matters, just as democracies have a limited ability to control matters? What's that going to mean 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now?
Well, it's a profound question, John, which Europe is struggling with in a very palpable and possibly trailblazing way. You've seen the British just vote recently to exit the European Union because they felt they were losing control. And I think a lot of the current wave of protectionist sentiment in the United States and elsewhere around the world has to do with the sense that people are losing control over their economic policy, losing control of their lives. There have always been challenges to making democracy work. There's always been a challenge of plutocrats in the 19th century or billionaires now trying to get special access to politics and funneling excessive amounts of money into politics. It requires a constant vigilance and attentiveness to reform. So I think we need to find innovative ways to empower people at different levels and to ensure that there is, accountability and responsiveness of government to the popular will.
Are Americans players in all of this? I mean, if you look at this year's election campaign, it's possibly hard for America to point to itself as an example of a healthy democracy where the people are interested in the kinds of freedoms that were talked about, you know, in the era of Abraham Lincoln or FDR or JFK or even Ronald Reagan.
Well, I think we should wait until the outcome of this election to draw that conclusion. I think that America has declined as a model and a source of admiration in the world democratically. There's no question about that, partly because of the influence of money in politics, partly because of the rise of anti-immigrant and I would even say racist sentiments that have filtered into this presidential campaign. But on the other hand, John, as I travel around the world, what I find everywhere I go is intense interest in the American presidential election. And a strong recognition by diverse peoples around the world that, as Madeleine Albright has said during her time as Secretary of State and after, and other American leaders such as Ronald Reagan, we are the indispensable nation. And Democrats around the world know that and wish for a revival and rejuvenation of American democracy and a reaffirmation of our basic principles.
Finally, Larry, and you possibly are a great person to ask this question. If Plato himself was looking down on what was going on in the world right now, he would say, "You silly, silly people, you didn't listen to me. What you need is a leadership class that's going to manipulate things like the economy and the essential sort of political order, and people will live under that in a state of grace, as I predicted, and you've not taken my advice at all."
There are very few countries that have wound up with a Platonic, if I can use your reference, authoritarian ruler or authoritarian leadership, and managed to maintain that sense of benevolence, concern for the common good, and good governance. Singapore is really pretty close to the only one I can think of. You're much more likely to get a Hugo Chavez or a Robert Mugabe or a Karimov, the absolute ruler who just died in Uzbekistan after running his country into the ground. If you opt for authoritarian rule and surrender the accountability that free and fair elections bring and the discipline and constraint that independent courts and media bring, you're much more likely and almost inevitably will wind up with a tyrant rather than a Platonic benevolent autocrat.
Larry Diamond is senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, author of The Spirit of Democracy. He's a professor at Stanford University. Larry, thanks so much.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.